Welcome to This Is Your Life with Michael Hyatt, where our goal is to help you win at work and succeed in life. My name's Michelle Cachat. I'm sitting in the studio today with my friend Michael Hyatt. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Michelle. How are you doing?
I'm not used to you sitting on this side.
I know. I'm on the wrong side.
It's odd. It's
on your right side.
It's the right side. Maybe we should move you further and further down the couch.
Oh, come on. Give me a break.
Well, I'm really excited today because we have a special treat. We have a guest with us today. Lewis House is an online marketing expert. He's a sought-after business coach, an author, a podcaster. I mean, really the long line of accolades is really quite extensive, and I'm very impressed with his resume, his history. However, this is not how his story began, and this is what I'm most intrigued by. He was a former pro football player and two-sport All-American, but he experienced a career-ending injury that changed everything for him. One day, he was sleeping on his sister's couch, and it looked like his entire life's plan had been disrupted, but he wasn't about to let that be the end of him. And so within about 3 years, he went from sleeping on that sister's couch to running a seven-figure online education business. And so he has an entire story that we're going to unpack a little bit today, as well as a book that's coming out, and that's exactly where we're going to start. But before I do that, welcome, Lewis.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
I'm so glad you're here. So you have a brand new book that just came out a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
I'm so excited about it. It's doing very, very well and great content. But I want to start with the kind of the premise of it. First of all, the book is called The School of Greatness, A Real World Guide to Living Bigger, Loving Deeper, and Leaving a Legacy. Mm-hmm. It's all about greatness.
Yes.
So how do you define greatness?
You know, I ask this question at the end of every episode that I do for the guests that I bring on, because I'm always interested to see what it means to them. But for me, in this moment, greatness means discovering and defining what my gifts are, making the most of those gifts, and maximizing the maximum number of people in the world with those gifts.
Very concise. There you go. Greatness.
That's excellent. Okay. Mm-hmm. So in the book, you outline 8 different lessons, mm-hmm. and we don't have time to get all 8. Plus, if we gave them away, nobody would buy your book.
Yeah, exactly. We don't really get them.
So the goal here is to tease the book.
Perfect.
And give people a little bit of a taste. But what are some of those lessons? Maybe the first couple, or maybe the one that you think is the most important or comes first?
Well, the first one and the last one I'd say are very important. Okay. But I'll start with the first one, and that's having a very clear vision. And as an incredible leader that you are, you have a very clear vision. Whenever I think of vision, I think of you.
Wow.
And leadership.
Thank you. Do you say that to every host?
No, just you.
Okay, thank you.
But seriously though, you know, when I think about great leaders, anyone who has achieved greatness in business or sports or family or community or service, they have a powerful vision. I think of Dr. Martin Luther King, and he had a dream for many, many years. It was a powerful vision for years. And it took his whole life's work to make that vision come true. But if he didn't have that vision or that dream, or if we didn't have the dreams that we have, we'd just be wandering through life, seeing what comes up for us, and being, you know, open to whatever comes up, but we may not be able to achieve exactly what we want. So it's getting clear on what we want first, and then moving towards that vision.
It
seems very simple, though, but
it sounds more, rather than reacting to circumstances, being proactive about turning, rather than just waiting and passively responding to what happens, being very proactive about
exactly. And I think it's important to think about the vision that we want as individuals, not what our family wants for us or what society, our peers, not being pressured into a specific path. You know, go to the school that other people want you to go to, not do the job that other people want you to do, but really get clear on what you want first. And I think most people forget how to get clear on what they want. They don't know. And I talk about how to do that in that chapter.
I mean, just give us a few tips there. How do you get clear on vision? Because I, you know, I hear a lot of people exhorting us to do it, but how do you actually do it?
The first step that I teach people is going through an exercise called the perfect day exercise. And this is where you...
I saw that in the book. I love that.
Thank you. Thank you. And this is something I've been doing for a long time. It's where we allow ourselves to dream. You know, I think there's so much clutter in our minds and so much chatter with all the social media and content and people telling us what to do that we don't take moments in our day to just dream and think about what if, what could life look like if I went after this dream or if I had this dream. So in this perfect day exercise, I tell people to literally take out a piece of paper, and you can do this right now if you're watching, take out a piece of paper and just write down in broad terms what a perfect day would look like for you. If you could have anything you wanted, mm-hmm. the people you want to spend your time with, the places you want to travel, where you want to live, the time that you'd be spending doing what would that be? So write it down in broad terms. It could be as simple as, I wake up at 7 a.m. next to the woman of my dreams, and I'm in tears because I can't believe how lucky I am to be next to her. And it could start
off. That's
awesome. That's a great way to start.
Right?
It is.
For me, that would be like the perfect morning, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so what's next? So you just start writing it out and be so open and don't hold back on what you mm-hmm. think would be amazing, the way you'd want to feel and who you'd want to spend your time with. So writing that out first, about a page, write this down about what it would be like just one day. Now, your perfect day is going to change. If you did the same thing every single day, you'd be bored.
It wouldn't be perfect.
Exactly. Yeah. So you got to think Absolutely. About, okay, what would the feeling be like every mm-hmm. single day? Then what I tell people to do, this is the second thing most people don't do. They'll dream about what they want. They'll have vision boards. You know, they'll put up images of what they want, but they don't do the next step. And for me, this is what I learned from sports. Every practice that we go to in football, I would show up and in my locker, there would be an itinerary of every 10 to 15 minutes what we were doing on the field that day in practice.
Wow.
So I'd show up and I knew exactly, okay, warm up, then special teams, then offense, then defense, then coaches meeting, then a water break, huddle training,
really?
Whatever it
made. I didn't know this.
Every 10, 15 minutes was mapped out.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
All football teams do that?
Not all of them. The great ones do. Ones that have a clear vision.
Excellent
right?
point. Yeah. I love
so,
that.
Ones that just said, okay, show up and be there on the field at 3:15.
Mm-hmm. We'll figure it out when we get
yeah,
there.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But the ones that are so prepared, okay, we know how much time we have for practice, so we know where we're going to put the work in to achieve our vision for okay. that day and for that week and for the season. So I talk about having an itinerary in life. So you write down your perfect day. Then you got to write in, okay, how am I going to fit all this in? Mm-hmm. And where is this going to go? So 8 a.m. I wake up, or 7 a.m. I wake up. For the first 30 minutes, what are you doing? For the next 30 minutes, what are you doing? Where are you going to fit in all this time and the things you want to do? You got to map it out for yourself so you can see it physically and then take action towards that itinerary in your day.
Okay, so here's a question. I want to back up a little bit because in yeah. the intro, I mentioned a little bit that you started out with a very mapped out plan of what you wanted your life to look
yeah.
like. And then it got interrupted
yes.
quickly.
Yeah.
And just that fast, everything changed. So did you already have this keen ability to cast a vision then, or was that something you had to learn the hard way?
Now with sports, yeah, I was really good at visualizing how I was going to perform on the field. I was practicing visualization techniques in high school, college, and playing arena football. And
but how about when you were on your sister's couch?
And my sister's couch after that, I was a little depressed for a while, to be honest. I mean, I was there for about a year and a half.
Well, that's why I would imagine. And I know yeah. there are some people listening, watching right yeah. now that are in that place. And uh-huh. so speak to it when it's hard to find a vision. What do you do then?
Well, I think you got to accept and acknowledge where you're at. So if you're mm-hmm. already in a hard place and you're not feeling good about yourself, just say, okay, I acknowledge that I'm in a hard place and I'm not feeling good. And I might need a couple weeks to just be in my mess, right? Mm-hmm. From there, the next thing that really worked for me is having incredible support, family mm-hmm. support and friend support, and finding some key mentors that I was inspired by already who lifted me up mm-hmm. just by giving me a few minutes of their time and some information and challenging me. So I think it's really important to ask to be challenged, because we aren't challenged enough in our daily life. Mm-hmm. We don't spend enough time with people who challenge us. Mm-hmm. and who question us, not about our integrity or about what we're up to, but just challenging us to move forward to get to that next step. So find a mentor, find some support that you really admire, and ask them to challenge you. Say, my request is to give me a challenge for this week. Mm. What can I do to get to the next step this week? I still don't know what my dream is or my vision is, or I don't know what job I'm gonna do or if I'm gonna start something, but what's something I can do this week? Maybe it's read a book. Maybe it's listen to your podcast. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's work out every day. It might mm-hmm. be something small.
But
to get
something.
You
something that moves you
yes,
toward
that's it.
Greatness.
So finding the support was huge for me. I took longer than I probably needed to get out of my mess. Because
Well, give everybody some context.
Yeah.
How long?
I mean, about a year and a half. For me, I didn't have a backup plan. So I went to go play football. That was my whole dream my entire
Absolutely.
Life.
Absolutely. Well, you mentioned in your book you grew up in Ohio.
Exactly.
I lived in Ohio. So growing up in the shadow of OSU, that's a big deal.
It's a big
deal.
And
to not have that dream come true is crushing.
Well, it came true for a little bit.
Well, for a short time.
For a little bit. And
so
then
you
it was
got
over.
A taste of it. And then it's...
And it was like I got this taste of this lifestyle that I'd always dreamed of for about 6 months. And then it was taken away. So it was just like, well, I don't know what to do next. Cause I wasn't really studying.
That was your plan.
That was my plan. Yeah. So I was like,
I have no clue.
I didn't get a college degree yet. I finally went back and got one, but it's not like I put my energy in the schoolwork. I put it into my dream.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if I was going to get a job, if I could start anything. I didn't know how to make money. I just had no clue what was next, period. And it just took that. And I was in a cast from here to here for 6 months. So I was just like, didn't know what I could do. I wasn't able to do manual labor, like construction work. No one was hiring in 2008, so I wasn't able to get a job, really. And I didn't want a job at the time because I lived this lifestyle as this athlete, getting to do what I wanted to do every single day, where I was like, I don't want to go work if it's not something I'm passionate about. So I was in a mess.
But I love that you're admitting that and being honest about it, because so many people who are listening are right there in that spot.
Yeah.
Was there a moment on this vision thing when you thought, wait a second, I did this on the field. What if I applied this to my life?
That's it, exactly. I mean, I felt like I have a great advantage because I had that experience. If I didn't have sports, I don't know where I'd be now because I've literally just applied everything from those moments into business, relationships, life. That's where the itinerary came and the perfect day, because we would practice that in the great teams I was on. We would have full days of training on what our vision was for as a team for the season. We would map it out on the big whiteboard or chalkboard. Then we would have, our own, we'd have to write down, again on the great teams, our personal vision for the season. So what do we want to create? How are we going to serve our teammates? What attributes do we want to bring to the team? What type of stats do we want to get, like actual results? How do we want to show up? So we'd have to write down our own personal mission for the season as well. So I said, well, this really works because it keeps me accountable and keeps me on track and it gives me a clear dream and vision what I want for this 3 months. And I was like, why don't I just make my life a sport and start applying the same principles I learned from sports into business and relationships and community and service and, and my faith and everything. And it's done great so far.
I love that.
So if vision was the first lesson,
yes.
You said the last one was also really important.
Yes, the last one, I think... It's living a life of service. So in my opinion, if we, and that also means living a life of service to ourselves. So it goes back to vision. Most of us don't take the time to dream about what we really want. We don't take the time to dream and we don't take the time to actually do the things we love doing. So first, I think being of service to our gifts and to our creator who created us for a reason to make sure that we live to the fullest and we live our dreams. So it's first being of service to ourselves and then figuring out how to impact the maximum amount of people around us, whether that be your community and your family, whether it be your state, you know, the world. It doesn't matter what it is, but figuring out a way to serve the people around us.
It's multiplication.
That's it. Yeah.
We're taking whatever we have and somehow trying to multiply it. Now, we talked about this a little bit, but I want to unpack it a little bit more. You have an entire section talking about the value of adversity.
Yes.
And you also mentioned a moment ago that we don't invite people to challenge us, which I would even say having people challenge us is a form of adversity,
it's
right?
It's uncomfortable.
And when we're in a place where we're stuck, our natural impulse is to resist any more pain because we already feel like we're in pain. And yet you're saying to actually connect with it, lean into it, embrace it, which happens to be something I believe in very strongly too, based on my story. So talk to us a little bit about the role of adversity and then how we should respond to it.
I mean, I think it's extremely valuable and important to have adversity. I think if we have a dream, a big dream, if we want to achieve greatness, if we want to be successful in business or whatever it may be, the bigger the dream, the more challenges that are to come our way naturally. It's just going to happen. It's not going to be easy to go from zero to millionaire or billionaire or zero to the best athlete in the world. It's going to take a lot of pain and challenges along the way. So you just have to understand that's the process. Adversity, if I want to get to any next level, there's going to be challenges. The way we look at it can be either hard or it can be, oh, this is great feedback for me. I'm not doing what I need to do, so I need to adjust and learn how to move through this pain and appreciate and be grateful that I'm experiencing the pain. I'm still alive. Awesome. Yes. Like, come from a place of yes, and of course, what's next? So for me, it's just looking at it differently and realizing that the pain and the struggle and the confusion and the messiness is a part of getting to that next step. So smile. You know, my friend Rob Bell, who's an incredible spiritual pastor who I had on my podcast one time, he was like, you know, I really don't get upset when people attack me or this and that or really bad things happen in the world. I look at it as like, this is going to be a great story to tell one day. And no one
kind of reframes it.
Yeah.
It's like, this is going to be an incredible story that all these people tried to attack me or tried to shut me down in my church or, you know, criticize me or something bad happened to me physically. It's going to be an incredible story that's going to inspire so many people, because no one wants to hear, I had the best life ever. Like, everything went my way. There was never a challenge. I made billions of dollars and it was the easiest road. No one can connect to that.
That's so true.
Learn to just say, like, smile, laugh, like, wow, I just lost my leg. Okay, awesome. What's the story and the lesson I'm gonna be able to share with the world now? Obviously, there's gonna be a point where it's gonna be a struggle, but where, if you can reframe it, I think it's gonna be a lot more beneficial for you and the people around you.
Is that something that came natural to you or something you had to learn over time?
I think, you know, months and months of just like depression and struggle and frustration of being like, okay, that doesn't serve me. Yeah. You know, I don't feel good when I just like wallow in my sadness, right? So why don't I, and I'm still not perfect. There's moments where I'm like, okay, this sucks or this isn't fun, but.
That's just honest.
Yeah.
That's just
being honest with your ability to push through.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, you know, the people that have such a powerful, clear vision, it doesn't matter what obstacles are in their way, they're so committed to their vision, and that's what makes them great. They'll do whatever it takes to achieve that vision.
Well, we have much more to talk about with Lewis Howes. You can see why his podcast is one of the top podcasts on iTunes. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Has this ever happened to you? You write a list of goals with the best of intentions. You're excited and motivated for a couple of weeks, and then life gets in the way. You get distracted or discouraged. You stop moving toward what really inspires you. If you want to achieve what matters most, traditional goal setting will only get you so far. You need a proven plan. Soon, I'll be opening enrollment to my course, 5 Days to Your Best Year Ever. And in it, I'll show you my proven system to get clear on what you want to accomplish and then get started achieving it. You can't enroll yet, but you can join the waiting list. Just go to bestyearever.me and enter your email address to get updates. To say thanks, I'll send you a free copy of my ebook, How to Use Evernote to Track Your Biggest Goals. This will help you keep your goals organized so they don't get stuffed in a desk drawer and forgotten. If you're tired of making goals but not achieving them, don't miss your chance to discover how to stop drifting and start making meaningful progress in your life. Sign up today at bestyearever.me.
Today we're talking to Lewis Howes, author, speaker, podcaster, and he has a brand new book, a hit that just came out called The School of Greatness, a real world guide to living bigger, loving deeper, and leaving a legacy. So far we've talked about a couple different lessons that he outlines in his book on this journey to greatness. And we've talked about the role of adversity, the importance of having a vision for the future. And we have so much more. And of course, we're not going to give you all the lessons. You're going to have to get the book for yourself. But we have so much more. I think this next one is, this next lesson is probably the most important in many ways.
You know, we talk a lot on this podcast about the role of mindset and how important it is to have the right mindset. And you talk in the book about developing the champion's mindset. Yes. I wonder if you could unpack that a little bit for us.
Yeah, you know, again, a lot of stems from my sports background where I learned a lot of this in the beginning. But when I was on the field competing against some of the top athletes and in the biggest games, I started to learn what makes the difference between the ones that could win and the ones that were second or third place. And now when I watch interviews after the Super Bowl or the World Series or the NBA championships, and you see them interview the MVP or one of the players that makes the best plays that day, there's usually one of two responses that they do right away. So when the broadcaster says, you know, how do you feel? Whatever, how'd you do it? How'd you make this a great game? they'll usually say, "What I give all the glory to God," mm-hmm. or all the glory to, you know, Jesus or their creator, right? All the glory to God, and I am just living through, you know, his power, her power, and I could do none of this without them. But I put all my belief and faith mm-hmm. that I would be able to do this through God. The other approach is the Muhammad Ali approach. I am the greatest. I knew I would win. I was going to be the best. I knew a year ago we would win this game. I worked my butt off. No one can stop me. I am the greatest and I know it. Mm-hmm. The thing they have in common is belief. They have such a strong belief that they were going to win, whether it be their own athleticism or something else is mm-hmm. giving them this strength. And that's the difference maker, is that belief and that confidence. And so many people don't have that unwavering belief. Mm-hmm. They believe a little bit, or they hope, or they work really hard, but they're just not certain. And the thing that those two people have is that they're so certain mm-hmm. that their gifts will shine.
And how do you get to that certainty? Because, you know, I mean, I know how I feel a lot of times. So I feel confident, and then there's that hesitation mm-hmm. that causes sure. me to hang back just a little bit.
Sure.
Which can cost you a game.
Yeah, of course.
Or cost you a deal in business
yeah.
or a relationship. So how do you develop that confidence that yeah. leads to that kind of certainty?
I mean, a lot of years of hard work and momentum and self-awareness, I think. Mm.
So it's constantly, almost like a practice.
It
you
is
almost
a practice,
have to practice.
Of course. I mean, you're not going to be great overnight. You're not mm-hmm. just going to like be in the playoffs or start a business right away and make millions of dollars your first day. It's going to take years and years of adversity, overcoming the practice, the struggle, the injuries, the heartaches. I think when we surround ourselves with a quality mindset practice, we have loving people around us that constantly build confidence in us. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm excited to be a father one day just for the fact to be able to train positive minds yeah. and be able to practice like creating the most like powerful minds in the world mm-hmm. by just telling them how they can achieve whatever they want, and that the struggle is about learning in the process, but always come from a sense of knowing who you are and believing in yourself. Even when you're not ready, just believe and act as if, and that's going to get you a lot further ahead than your competitors or anyone else around you.
You know, I had somebody tell me one time early in business, they said, fake it till you make it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, in some ways that's a little cheesy, but in some ways it's kind of true.
It is. Yeah.
It's like when I was a kid, I'd put on my dad's military jacket and mm-hmm. it didn't fit.
Yeah.
You know, but eventually I grew into it.
Right, exactly.
You yeah. know, so sometimes you just have to be comfortable in the discomfort of exactly. feeling like you're a little bit out of your element.
And here's the thing, you know, both teams going into the Super Bowl are scared and nervous. There's not mm-hmm. one player on that team who's just like, we got this. Mm-hmm. You know, they're all thinking about what's it going to be like if we have a ring on our fingers and being the world champions. They're both nervous mm-hmm. and scared. I don't care how much yep. belief they have in themselves or how confident. You're going to have nerves. So you just got to be like, okay, I'm going to be afraid. There's going to be some fear and some nerves no matter what I do, because if I want to achieve greatness, it's going to be uncomfortable in my life. You know, mm-hmm. the next step is always uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So be aware of that and fake it. Yeah. Until you start to just flow, and it'll be a lot easier then.
In some ways, we give way too much power to our feelings.
Yeah, we do.
I mean, we just, yeah, we tend to operate at times just reactive yes. to our emotions and yes. our feelings. They're going to change.
They will.
And that's why you can wake up one day and feel great and wake up the next and feel
terrified.
Exactly.
And so you have to have that plan, that vision as you talked about, but know that you have the power to establish your mindset.
Yes. And I think also, this is something I've had to learn and let go of a lot, is not being attached to the results. So I have a vision, you know, I want to be a number one New York Times bestseller. I wanted to be an All-American athlete. I wanted to go to the Olympics. I have this dream, these visions, but it may not happen the way I want it to be. It may look a different way. Mm-hmm. And that attachment to that is what's going to hold me back and hurt me, I think. Mm-hmm. So being clear on the vision, but also being open to what may be possible and how it may evolve and change.
One thing I say is you want to be invested with it, but not attached.
That's great.
So to be fully invested in your vision, and yet you hold it loosely in
yes,
some ways.
Yes.
You know, fully invested, but not attached,
exactly.
where you aren't so wrapped up in it.
And I was attached to like the dream of making the NFL and playing mm-hmm. professional sports for a long time. And that's what held me back for a year and a half, because I was so attached that I couldn't let it go. Mm. And I was living from the past and was like, why can't I achieve this anymore? And feeling bad for myself. So I like the way you approach that.
Yeah, we're pretty glad that, you know, there was a different plan for you, because you wouldn't be here.
Otherwise. Very happy.
There was one quote in your book that I loved. I just want to read it right now. Greatness is really the survival of your vision across an extended timeline, based on your willingness to do whatever it takes in the face of adversity, to adopt the mindset to seize opportunity wherever it lives. Mm-hmm. What I love, the theme behind all of that is perseverance, like steadfastness.
Yes.
And I find that people, the minute things are uncomfortable, or if they have a series of trying circumstances, you know, when one thing happens after another, they quit.
Yes.
Right before the moment when something might break free.
Exactly. And that's the time when you can really inspire yourself and other people the most, when you just take it a little bit farther and you continue to move through the adversity. When we stay in the victim mindset and we're like, well, you know, this is where it's going to be and there's not much I can do, that's what's going to hold us back from living our dreams, but then it being the symbol of inspiration around us.
Hmm. Now, on the flip side, you know, we talk about pushing through and perseverance. Is there such a thing as too much hustle, doing too much and going too far?
I think there is, if we're not being present to who we are and how we're being. So if we're just doing busy work to hustle for hustle's sake, and we're not showing up, being present and being mindful of how we're affecting the people around us, how our health is being affected. If we're hustling and we're never sleeping on a consistent basis, that's not healthy. So I think you got to always be in check with, how do I feel? Do I feel good? And how do the people around me feel? Do they feel loved? Or am I completely absent in this world, just chasing this attached vision I have? So it's a constant dance.
Which goes back to what you talked about, outlining your ideal day, you know, your perfect day. And if you take the time to really dream through what you want that to look like, that helps you stay in check with, you know, I tend to be a hard worker, so I can go out there and work my tail off for 12, 14 hours and lose track of what I really wanted my day to be about.
Exactly. Yeah. It's all about that. I mean, I look at it as seasons. You know, there's seasons where you're going to train and you're going to do 3 a-days. Then you're going to train for just 2 hours a day. Then you're going to taper off so you can really have a lot more energy and play in the playoffs. Then there's an off season where you take some time off. Then you retrain harder. So it's like you've got to learn to dance. You can't just play a game every single day at the height of your, you know, physical capabilities or mental capabilities. You've got to learn to dance with the seasons of life.
So I'm going to put you on the spot. You ready?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
She's good at this.
What do you mean? Do you practice this? Do you take time? Like, you're in the middle of a book launch right now, which is big, which means you're in a season of 3 a-days, right?
I'm in a harvest season right now,
Have you intentionally plotted out time where you're going to slow down and stop? Because there are some people that are listening to you talk that think this is unrealistic. Mm-hmm. I can't live at that pace all the time.
Yeah.
So what?
It's a lot happening right now, and I'm going above and beyond because this is an 8-year vision of mine.
Yes.
So I really... I'm, you know, not attached to the result, but I'm really passionate about it,
You're
right?
You're very invested.
So I'm very invested. It's two hands in there. It's like loosely. Yeah. But yeah, a few weeks ago, I was just like, you know what? I feel like I'm not sleeping enough. I could sense it. You know, I always checking with myself at night. I'm like, where am I at? Am I showing up in a powerful way or am I run down? And I was starting to feel like if I continue this for the next 3 months, because I'm not going to stop, I'm going to be burnt out and exhausted. And that's not living a great life.
Yeah.
So that day I booked a flight to go to Hawaii the following week for 4 days. And I said, you know what? If I take my phone and my computer, I'm probably going to work. So I left my phone and my computer at home, completely off the grid, not even access.
For real.
For real.
That's unbelievable. That's...
First time in 15 years, I didn't have access to my phone for more than 24 hours. And I remember leaving at home and like going to the airport and was just like, what do I do? I got to Hawaii and I forgot which car rental place I was from. And I was like, shoot, I wish I had my phone because I have all the information. So I literally had to go by one to like ask them which one was my car rental.
That's awesome. I love it.
I was trying to figure out, I had friends on the islands who I didn't get their number beforehand, so I didn't prepare. But, you know, so I'm like looking it up in the Rolodex or in the phone book. You know, the directions there, I figured out, I couldn't figure out where I was going, so I had to stop at a gas station and ask where the directions were.
Wow.
So it was like 15 years ago. I was like living in the past.
It's like being great. Amish.
It felt, I'll tell you what though, after the second day.
My apologies to our Amish listeners. Exactly. Okay, they probably don't
look. After the second day, I was just like, wow, I am laying in the ocean, hiking the mountains, jumping off waterfalls, disconnected.
So it was worth it.
It was incredible. The things that I just like felt about myself and felt so much clearer and grounded and rested. And I was like, I could do this for another week. I didn't feel like I needed to come back.
I want to do that.
It was amazing. So what I learned about it is like, I've got to do that at least twice a year, if not every quarter, for a long weekend. No phone, no computer, and just connect.
Do you have something planned for after your book launch?
Yeah, I talked about this last night with a friend that I think New Year's Eve will be the day I kind of like take a break to just reevaluate, because the book comes out, you know, just came out, and then for the next couple months with Thanksgiving and with Christmas, I'll be marketing and promoting it there and doing interviews. I think the first 5 days of January, after I go through Best Year Ever program.
Thank you for that.
Yes.
Well done.
After I go through Best Year Ever and after I'm done promoting that really hard to my audience, because it's incredible, I'll take a week to just reevaluate and take some time.
So I may hold you to that. I'll check in, see if you
do. Challenge me.
You did say that earlier.
Challenge me.
So I was going to ask a question about fitness.
Okay, go ahead.
Because athleticism has been a huge part of your story and your life. And I know, because last time you stayed with us when you were in town, you and I went to the gym together.
That was great.
And you worked out. You looked marvelous.
Thanks.
So what role do you think fitness and athleticism plays in the life of anybody who wants to achieve greatness?
You know, this is interesting, because this might upset some people. But I think one of my principles is to learn how to master your body if you want to be great. Because there is just this excess weight, whether it be emotional or mental or physical, that is going to hold you back if you're not taking care of your body. And listen, I'm not like, I don't have a six pack. I'm not like in the top shape of my life right now. I fluctuate where I'll gain 10, 20 pounds here and there sometimes. But I think the times where I am in check with my health, both emotional, mental, and physical health, that's when I'm at my best. That's when I show up in a powerful way. That's when I feel, have the most confidence and belief in myself. Talk about the champion's mindset. And that's when I literally, you know, scientifically, the fact of it is I have more energy.
So true.
And you just have more energy when your health is in check. And when we're up to a big game in life, when we're up to big dreams, or we're just up to living full of love with the people around us on a consistent basis and not reacting constantly to the things that happen. When we're up to that life, we've got to take care of our health in order to make sure that we have the energy throughout every single day to be able to emotionally handle the things that come our way. Otherwise, we're going to be triggered much more easily. We're going to be overreactive. We're going to be frustrated, stressed out, drained. And that's going to be hard to just achieve our dreams if we're coming from that place. But, you know, I'm not perfect. I eat sugar and candy all the time. I just brought you a box of chocolates. I mean, it's my vice. But I think it's constantly just living in the dance. It's the seasons, live in the dance.
I like that.
Yeah.
So it's not this perfection we're aiming for, but
it's not perfection.
Being in tune and mindful of that, being a steward of
what you have. And you know, greatness is not about being perfect. It's about giving your best at every moment. And perfection is just not possible.
That's a huge distinction.
Yeah.
Say that again.
Greatness is not about being perfect. It doesn't matter. It's about being your best in every moment.
Yeah.
And
you can't be perfect ever. So just let go of it. Even in your perfect day exercise, you're never going to live that same thing. It's about the striving for giving your best and the inspired word of perfection.
Yeah. Perfect.
I love that. Okay, one last question for you. Seeing where you've come from, this kid with a big dream that you pursued you played all out pursuing that dream, having it completely derailed. And then over a period of years and struggle, you've now come to this place where in so many ways, it looks like it's all come together perfectly. At the same time, we all know it could change, right, in a moment.
Right.
Well, is there anything you would do differently? Like if you could go back and talk to your younger self, what advice would you give?
I would let go of the pain and anger and resentment that I was holding on to my entire life from all the different stuff I went through growing up. Because in some ways that fueled my passion to be great, but really it was more to prove people wrong about being accepted.
That's very wise.
And so in a lot of ways it drove me to be like hungry and you know go after what I wanted. But it left me very empty and lonely every single night inside of myself, being like, what am I doing this for? And why am I angry still and resentful, even when I'm achieving great things? So I would go back to my younger self and literally just give myself a huge hug and say, let it go. It's not serving you. And just start loving yourself fully for who you are.
I love that. Such great advice. Any other questions you have for Lewis today?
That's fantastic.
That wrapped it up pretty
well. That's a great wrap up.
There's nothing else we can say. Well, if you enjoyed today's episode, you can get the show notes and a full transcript at michaelhyatt.com. And if you prefer to watch, you can always watch the video online as well, or you can listen either one. But do us a huge favor. This is so important. If you could take 30 seconds and head to iTunes and rate the podcast, it really helps get this material into the hands of the right people. There are so many other people that need to hear Lewis's story and his message of what greatness is all about. So take a few moments to rate it, and we are so grateful. Any final thoughts you have for our listeners today?
I would say that you guys, whoever's listening to this right now, I would first say thank you for listening, and continue to listen to this podcast, because there aren't that many people that are doing powerful, great things in my mind on iTunes right now. There's a lot of noise, but this is one that if you listen to it on a regular basis, it's always going to give you some insights and inspiration to get to the next step to achieve greatness in your life. So continue listening to this show every week.
Thank you for that. Yeah,
thank you, Lewis. Very much.
Well, thank you, listener, for joining us today. It's always a privilege to have you with us. Until next time, remember, your life, your one and only life, is a gift. Now go make it count.